Hello, this is Moshe Moskovitz, and you're listening to Live from Mount Sinai, a production of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. Today is Thursday, November 3rd, 2005. This is probably going to be the last episode of this show. I'm never going to say never, but this is probably going to be it. I haven't done the show for a while. Not everyone, you know, one listener thought that maybe I had stopped doing the show because I had been threatened by Nazis or something. But my decision to stop doing the show was not as a result of Nazis, although I have certainly given them good reason to moving on. The reason why I decided to I want to get into the reason why I decided to end this show, okay? And it wasn't like first degree murder. It wasn't like I plotted out to stop doing the show. All right, that it was premeditated. It wasn't even second degree murder. Okay, it was from a legal point of view, it was manslaughter. Okay, that's why I axed the show. That's why I killed it. Okay, it wasn't murder, it was manslaughter. And what happened was, after a year of really putting everything I had into the show, and, you know, oftentimes doing a really shitty job of, you know, it was, oftentimes it was horrible production qualities, but I always sort of emotionally just gave it all I could give. But what happened was, one particular month, or week rather, after doing the show, I look at my traffic statistics, and I see that there was 30 downloads for that week. Okay, 30 people out of, you know, 6 billion people on the planet listen to my fucking show live from Mount Sinai, which, by the way, is no longer done live. I really had much loftier goals at the beginning of this show, and it was done live. But anyways, getting back to what I was saying, after seeing that horrendous statistic of 30 downloads, which was, you know, much lower than usual, but not that much lower than usual, what happened was that I had a wig out. I just wigged out, and I said, fuck it. That's it. That's it, motherfucker. I am ending it. This is it. You know? It's like, you know, you as listeners have no fucking respect for me, you know? And I have put my ass on the line a number of times, okay, to, you know, report to you things that put my future, okay, in peril. Okay, I have done some really serious shit on this show. I didn't really, you know, I'm just thinking about it now. I mean, I didn't really, you know, I never go into these shows with a script. Okay, I usually go into these shows with some sort of notes. Today, I didn't do any notes, but let me just off of the top of my, I'm very bad with cliches, but just top of my head. I don't know. I don't remember cliches. I got a cliche defect. But I uncovered the Kevorkian conspiracy. Okay, that was a very important show I did on Kevorkian. Okay, everyone thinks, and many people still think, that Dr. Jack Kevorkian is some kind of fucking Mother Teresa. But, you know, I am the first person. I believe in the whole goddamn fucking universe, whoever came forward and said that I knew one of Jack Kevorkian's victims. Okay? Her name was Judith Kearns. I might be wrong on that. I believe that's correct. But you can go back to the episode and listen to the Kevorkian show. But anyways, I knew her. I spent time with her in a mental institution, and no one really knows that she was mentally ill. And that she was, at the time of her assisted suicide or assisted homicide or however you want to call it, she was in an abusive relationship with her husband, that was also at one point her psychiatrist. That fact was reported in the newspapers. But anyways, I uncovered a lot of, no one listens to me, you know, but at least I came forward with a fact that Kevorkian killed a mental patient. All right. What other important shows did I do here? A show on Wadiko. Wadiko was a summer camp for mentally ill children that I was, and teenagers that I was, let me take that back. Not mentally ill, sort of. I'm not even going to say maladjusted. It's hard to put these people in a category. The people, the children at Wadiko, and by the way, you can go to wadiko.com. I bought the domain and hear the fucking show, okay? But anyways, I'm not going to go into it now, what Wadiko was like, but I was the first person, as far as I know, in the whole fucking universe, to reveal to everyone and bring forth a witness. Okay, I got a former camper. I was there. I don't know if I said that, but I was there too. But I got a witness, to speak about the abuses of the counselors at the camp, and what a horribly abusive place it was. And I keep getting emails from people from former campers, and they tell me it's, you know, boy, I don't know what I it's so good to hear people that are speaking the truth about Wadiko. I'm here at Wadiko. It's horrible. And I'm so glad that someone knows what it's like. Well, I broke that story. I think that those two things that I did were the shows that I did were really great cases of investigative journalism. No one really cares. But I really do feel that they were as special shows. What other shows did I do? I don't consider this one of my better shows or one of my, you know, I don't think I really did anything like original on this show, but I did a show that people seemed to like about, who the fuck was I? White Revolution, I think. Okay, what happened? White Revolution, they're from Arkansas, I believe, and they're like Nazis, and they came, they took like a bus or something, you know, and came to Boston to sort of, you know, on the holiest day of the, you know, the Jewish, you know, it's like almost, this is like, I don't know much about the Jewish religion. I know some things about it. But it's Yom Kippur. I'm not sure what that, I think I said what that actually means. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Yom Kippur. I'm sorry. It was another day. It was a new holy day, a recent holy day that was added to the calendar. Something like Yom HaShoah or something like that. And I'm probably mispronouncing it. But it was a day that sort of commemorates all the people in the Holocaust, all the Jews in the Holocaust that perished. And it's, you know, very sad day for Jews. And there's this memorial plaque on public property in Boston. And what these Nazis did was to come from, they came all the way from Arkansas to they had some stupid ass reason for protesting. I don't remember. All the details are on the show. It was just completely inane, you know, but basically they just wanted to piss on the dead. Okay? That's all they wanted to do. They just wanted to sort of show their disdain for Jews that are alive and dead. And you know, it's like they came from Arkansas and they had, it's like this is not their turf and all that shit. But what I did on the show was, there was also a group of socialists. By the way, I am a socialist. But these, you know, I think like most socialists are fucking assholes. Which is, this is why I don't associate with socialists or communists. I don't think I would want to associate with communists even if I was one. But anyways, this is why I don't like to associate with socialists, because they don't really understand what the fuck socialism is all about. They don't understand the idea of common property, of public property. And see, the Nazis came from Arkansas to sort of, you know, to do their protest on public property, okay? And what these fucking asshole socialists did was, you know, they were all gung-ho and they're all like, you know, belligerent. It's like, you know, we're taking this property, you know, it's like we're holding the turf. You know what they did is like they got there before the Nazis. They knew when the Nazis were coming. They said, we're gonna take this turf and we're gonna hold it and we're gonna, you know, and god damn it, this is our turf and, you know, fuck you, and, you know, and it's like, and so, you know, being a socialist, and, you know, socialists have this idea, you know, I'm at least a purist, like I am, I have this idea that all property should be owned by the people, okay? And I know we don't live in a socialist state, unfortunately, but we do have this notion of public property. And the whole idea of public property is that, you know, no one owns it. So the socialists, you know, as much as I hated these Nazis, the Nazis had every right to be on this public property to say whatever the fuck they wanted to say. Okay? And the socialists had no business trying to engage in a turf war with them. Okay? They had they had no business being, you know, saying, you know, taking the turf and getting into some kind of fucking turf war with them. But I think, you know, and it was sort of inappropriate because I didn't think that they really, you know, it was like, it was, you know, I think it was just, in this instance, I think that we should have just let the Nazis come here, act like fools, and done any protesting when they left. I just didn't, you know, it was a Jewish holy day, and I just thought it was inappropriate that they should have confronted them, okay? I think that what most people liked about that show, what everyone talks about, was how, like, I felt I needed to get back at the Nazis, you know? So I took this Confederate beach blanket and I shoved it up my ass in protest of the Nazis, you know, sort of shitting and, you know, on my dead. I didn't appreciate that, and I sort of wanted to exercise some punitive, I wanted to exercise some kind of punitive measure in some peaceful, manner, but which was symbolic. But I think that, like, everyone, like, you know, that's what everyone likes, you know, like the vulgarity of, you know, my show, you know, it's like, that's what they like, you know, me shoving things up my ass, and that's the ultimate irony, you know, I came into this show thinking that I was really gonna, you know, be the man, I was Moses, man, I was Moshe, okay, I don't think people even realize that, you know, Moshe is Yiddish, okay, for Moses, okay, so I was Moses, and I was, you know, gonna lead the people, you know, I was gonna take the left, basically, and lead them. They were going, you know, the wrong, you know, they were taking the path of, you know, worshiping golden calves, and, you know, and I was Moses, and I was going to show them the way. I was going to lead them to the path of God and righteousness and purity. And I am a purist, okay? I really, you know, I hate to say this, but there's really no difference between me and any kind of horrible purist, like me and, let's say, and Bin Laden. There's no difference, okay? There's a tremendous difference in how we view terrorism, okay? I don't believe in terrorism. But we're both purists, okay? We both there's no room in our visions of the world for compromise. We see the world in black and white, okay? And I wanted to take the left, okay? I wanted to kick their fucking ass because I think that the left, you know, by and large, they just run around like chickens without their heads, you know, and they're just morons, you know, and they don't use critical thinking, you know, and they just, you know, I didn't want, one of the reasons why I axed this podcast, Live from Mount Sinai, which actually didn't start as a podcast, was, you know, because I didn't want to become one of the millions of assholes who are projecting their stupid fucking podcast to the world, okay? That have really nothing to say, okay? That are just recycling and regurgitating, you know, shit from, you know, other, you know, intellectuals or whatever. You know, there's a few people, and I don't know if Greg Palast, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing his name. There's a link to it from my website, talkwarrior.com. But, you know, there's a few people that actually, like Palast, that have unique, original things to say. There's an economist called Krugman. I think it's Paul Krugman. And, you know, these people are brilliant. They're geniuses. And there's a lot of smart people. Actually, no, I'm going to take that back. There's not a lot of smart people. There's a few geniuses, like Palast and Krugman, and then there's everyone else that some people act like they're smart because they could really articulate what these geniuses are saying. Okay, they're very good at recycling what these geniuses are saying. But there's very few geniuses in the world, and there's very many people that just recycle the same old shit as everyone else. I don't want to be one of the many drones, okay? I don't want to be part of that, okay? I think in many ways I really couldn't be that because I'm really very ignorant. I don't do reading. I read on a regular basis, but I'm usually got my nose stuck in, like, old shit. I'm learning about the past. You know, I read biographies. I read history. I also read, a lot of crime fiction, you know. That's what I do most of my reading, you know. But I'm very ignorant. And I don't know, so I don't really talk much about political issues. And I try to get people, you know, to try to think critically. But again, I didn't want to be one of those assholes, you know. And I don't know. I'm going to have some water and take a break and finish this show off. Okay, I am back. And while microwaving the water from my chamomile tea, which, by the way, I don't like too much. I don't like any tea that doesn't have caffeine, but I really can't, not supposed to drink caffeinated tea because I have acid reflux and blah, blah, blah. But while doing that, I discovered, I discovered that I really don't have that much more to say. I'm not sure what there is to say. I'd like to thank everyone involved in the show. I'd like to thank the station. I can never get the name right. I'll find it right now. I think it's called Upstart Radio. Upstart Radio America. The reason why I can never remember the name of this station is because it's like they call themselves Upstart Radio America, and their URL is upstartradio.com, and I always get confused. Is it like Upstart America Radio? Upstart Radio America? You know? I wish they had, you know, just, maybe they should just call themselves The Upstart. That way there would be no possibility of confusing anyone with an IQ under 100. Hold on, I'm having a major coughing attack. There was always an ongoing joke on the show about my 95 IQ. You know, this is one of the many things that many people took for granted. And, you know, and part of the show, and one of the reasons why this show failed so terribly was because I never sort of got the message through to people that they should think critically and not believe everything they hear. They shouldn't even believe everything they see, especially when it's on television, especially when it's on Fox television, Fox News. there was that joke about 95 IQ, and some people, they would email me, and they're like, "Oh, you don't sound, don't let your IQ, you know, don't believe them. Don't let it get you down." It was like, "You sound like you're smarter than 95, so don't believe them." Well, you know, this is the only secret that I'm going to clue you in on. The only piece of false information, or not really false information. I don't like deliberately, I've never like, there's always a grain of truth in everything I have said on this show. I've never deliberately set out to mislead people. My IQ really was rated at one point at 95. And it was actually, here's the great irony of the whole thing. The person who ran with Deco, that's the show I was talking about, the abusive summer camp. The director did an IQ test on me when I was 15. And I believe that it was, I'm not sure if it was 95, it might have been 94 or 96. But that IQ test did, I actually was 95 or around 95, which is an average IQ is 100. And on the basis of this, the Ridico people told me I should be a chef. And I always say I should have listened, because then maybe, you know, I wouldn't have had to have gone through the agony of going through college and earning a degree and becoming an unemployed computer programmer. which is what I am. You know, it would have saved me a lot of trouble, probably, because I'm pretty miserable now. But anyways, my child IQ was, and you know what, I am not actually going to give you the IQ scores, okay, because I think that I've had other IQ tests done on me, and I've had two others. At least I'm aware of these scores of two others. I'm sure I've had more done on me. You know, it's like when I was in McLean, which is a mental institution that very famous people have gone to. What is her name? Okay, I'm forgetting one name right now, but I know, you know that movie Girl Interrupted? Well, it started out as a book, really, a memoir by Susanna Kaysen. It's called Girl Interrupted. The movie really sucked. The movie had Winona Ryder and that fat lip girl. You know, that girl, that woman with the really, you know, she... The women that has like lips that has that are really much larger than they should be, because she's added like a lot of collagen or done something crazy, you know. I'm forgetting my original topic. Anyways. Susanna Kaysen was there. She's famous. And the bell jar, Sylvia Plath, she was also there. Okay. I am in a long line of famous people that have been at this mental institution. It's a private mental institution. It's barely like because of the insurance companies don't want to pay anything anymore. They don't cover mental illness anymore, barely. So this mental institution is really, it's nothing like it used to be. Now they hardly, it's not much of anything anymore. It'd be lucky if it's there in 10 years. But anyways. What the fuck was my point? Oh, yes. They did an IQ test on me at McLean. I don't know what it was because, you know, people in mental health facilities really don't like to disclose. It's not even in a need-to-know basis. They just don't like to. They like to keep you in the dark. But anyways. But my point is this. I've had... From the IQ tests that I know about, I've scored substantially higher than average. I am not going to tell you these scores because I think that the whole IQ, the whole notion of IQ is just stupid. Okay, it doesn't mean a fucking thing, and I think the proof. I was a psychology major. And, you know, the proof, when you do research, when you do, like, any research, you know, if one of the things that they look for, if something is valid, if a certain result is valid, you know, that someone does an experiment, they achieve some result. So, if, not valid, but if... You know, I don't know the word for it, but what you need for if your theory for other people to accept your ideas, your conclusions, what needs to happen is you need to be able to other researchers need to be able to replicate your results, and your results can't like there shouldn't be these huge shifts in IQ scores. You shouldn't go from slightly from below average intelligence, okay, to substantially higher than average intelligence. See, when this happens, it strongly suggests that your testing tool sucks. So, the reason why I try to impress upon people, I kept using this running joke because, first of all, I do sort of like talk like a retard. listen to me. I'm a fucking retard. I mean, I'm all over the place. I could articulate. See, I can't even articulate the word articulate, okay? But I could articulate myself maybe slightly better than George W. Bush, okay? So that, and this is just slightly better. So this is just shows you what a fucking retard I am, okay? I mean, I'm retarded, but this is why I kept going down this 95 IQ, line, because I'm saying it's like, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to say, like, A, don't always believe what people tell you. If they say you're a retard or if they say you're a chef, you should be a chef, don't believe it, okay? Because it's probably crap, okay? Because most people in authority are full of shit, okay? And, you need to listen. You need to think for yourself, okay? You can't listen to people. I mean, if I had become, let's say I had listened to these people who said I should become a chef, and I had become a chef, okay? You know something? Maybe I probably would have had sex, and I guess that's the only thing I ever really wanted in life was to have sex. I would probably, be able to sustain a relationship because I would be employed. I never get to the relationship stage because I'm unemployed, and women don't like unemployed men, Women are like the ultimate capitalists. They're pigs. They're capitalist pigs. All right. I don't really blame the sex. I blame the society. Okay. But that's the way it is. You can't really get laid unless you have a job. Let's say that I would have become a chef. Okay. And I would have gotten laid on a regular basis. Well, I'm sure it would be a really great life, but I would not have probably have read some really profoundly great shit. I probably wouldn't have discovered Edward Bunker, okay, who recently died, and he was an actual convict, and he wrote crime novels, novels about prisons, and his first novel just was the most beautiful thing. I'm trying to remember its name. No Beast So Fierce. And it was such powerful prose. It's unbelievable. And I wouldn't have had any appreciation of prose. I wouldn't have gone on to read James Ellroy. Okay? I would not have had this any interest in the genre, and I wouldn't have read James Ellroy's tremendous prose, and I wouldn't have had any notion of history. I wouldn't have gone to college. I wouldn't have learned about the Soviet Union. And I think that I had read the Communist Manifesto in high school. I'm not sure. I read it at a pretty early age. I already knew about the Communist Manifesto. I already knew about Marxism. But I really doubt if I had really gone on to from there to learn about the abuses of Marxism. I wouldn't have learned about the Soviet Union. I learned about the Soviet Union in college. And, you know, and afterwards, like recently, I've become interested in communism in Southeast Asia. I wouldn't have learned about Pol Pot. And from there, I wouldn't have, see, one thing leads to another. I read about Pol Pot, now I want to read about Mao Zedong. I'm not even sure how to fucking pronounce it. Mao Zedong, I'm not sure. But maybe I'll even learn how to fucking pronounce his name. I want to learn about Mao. I want to learn about Ho Chi Minh. You know? And I'm, you know, by being educated, I'm becoming a real human being. I'm still tormented, you know, by, you know, not having sex, by being depressed, and a number of things. But at least I'm more of a human being. You know, if I was just a chef, I'd be more like some animal. Just, you know, just trying to get pleasure wherever you can get. You know, just, oh, you know, give me, you know, I'm a chef and, you know, I guess I would live semi-comfortably. I would, you know, but I would have sex and I would have sort of live like shit. I don't think they might get paid that much. I don't think that. I think only maybe a few of them do really well. I wouldn't be doing that well. You know, and I don't think it's stable employment. Restaurants are always going out of business. So I would be uneducated. I would not have have an opportunity to read about history, to know things, to read beautiful prose. It pains me to say this, but I would rather be this tormented loser, unemployed, tormentous, sexless, you know, not sexless, but asexual loser, than some half-assed, ignorant chef. I know there's probably chefs out there that are probably 10 times more educated than me. You know, I'm being overly, you know, I'm being a little prejudicial here. But most chefs, at least, you know, and I've worked in kitchens. And I tell you, chefs are the most ignorant motherfuckers you could ever meet. So I'd probably be an ignorant asshole. Jesus Christ, I might even be voting Republican. Who knows? You know? I would probably become an asshole. Or at least at a minimal, sort of like not a fully human. At least I'm trying. I don't consider myself fully human now. I still consider myself very ignorant. But I'm striving to become a better person. I'm trying to be a human being. I'm proto-human right now. Okay? And I'm, you know, maybe someday I will be human. So, fuck it. You can have your life as a chef. You could have and your sex and your 95 IQ and your semi-stable employment and your, you know, fuck that. Fuck that. I'd rather be who I am, because at least I'm a real person. And I've traveled down. I've had experiences in life. Despite the fact that most of my life has been lived on the margins, I've had. In fact, that is an experience in itself to live on the margins. But I've had experiences in my life that few people have ever had. Probably some experiences that no one has ever had. At a minimum, I've had a tormented existence, but a very interesting existence. Well, okay. I think that's probably about it. I wanted to thank again UpstartRadio.com for all the moral support that they gave me, and they also played me. I want to thank Ernesto. I want to thank all the people who gave me donations. You know, I kept saying, I'm going to fucking quit the show unless you give me a dollar. And I said that because I really wanted to kill the show. The show made me so fucking unhappy because no one was listening. And I felt like, what's the point, man? I hate talking to air. But there would be always someone that would come through. And I just like to thank all the people who came through, okay? It really meant a lot to me. I guess that about covers it. At the end of the show, I'm not going to do the ritual end of the show line. I always thank God at the end of the show. But, you know, fuck God.
God
doesn't do anything. I've made the show what this show is, not God. God hasn't helped me at all with this show. I've done this show all by myself. I don't need to thank God. I don't need his assistance. I don't need to kiss his ass. Okay? I don't need God. I'm not denying his existence. But I'm saying, fuck him. Okay. Again, thank you. By the way. I know that I am having a really miserable. I'm waiting for something that's going to happen. I'm actually waiting for the release of my product. That's a long story that I'm not going to get into. But I'm having emotionally a really bad time. So I'm thinking about possibly starting another project. Although this show, I think it's probably, this is probably going to be it for this show. So keep going to TalkWarrior.com. That's TalkWarrior.com. And I don't know, maybe I'll do another show. I don't know. It's been codenamed the BBC. And it doesn't stand for the British Broadcasting, I think it's Corporation. It's not that. It's an acronym for something else. But it's codenamed the BBC. I don't know exactly if I'm going to do the BBC, but I'm thinking about it. Certainly, it wouldn't be like this show. It wouldn't be like once a week. I would maybe do it once a month or whenever I feel like it, because I really don't have that much to say, because I'm so fucking ignorant. I don't have the facts, you know? And I basically, what I do is just try to look for flaws and what and other people's thinking or actions and hypocrisies and that's what I do, okay? But it's but that's sort of a lot harder in some ways. It takes a lot more work, okay, to base a show on ideas, on critical thinking, as opposed to just, you know, recycling, you know, other people's ideas, which is what 99.9% of all podcasters do. And I don't want to be part of that camp. And I don't, it's like, I don't always, you know, it's like, I don't, I don't, show concepts aren't that easy to come by. And I don't really have that much to say. All I could do, basically, is criticize other people. So I don't have that much to say. So that's why I don't think that it's going to be a very, very regular show. Okay, take care. Thanks for all my fans for listening. I almost forgot to thank probably the most important person on this show, the person who's given me the theme music. That is John Truby. Thank you, John Truby. For more information about John Truby, I don't have a direct link to him anymore. I should probably put it in the menu, but if you want to know where you can go to get John Truby, I can help you out, or just Google John Truby. Okay, I think it's spelled J-O-H-N, well, the last name, let me spell the last name, T-R-U-B-E-E. He kicks ass, and I haven't heard from him for like nearly a year or something, so I'm afraid of what might have happened to him. I hope he's still alive. I don't know, but I need to send him an email and check to see how he's doing. And I really appreciate having, you know, professional quality music on a show that has really been sort of half-assed. You know, Truby's music has really made me look good. All right. Take care.